Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service, where we report the world, however difficult the issue, however hard to reach. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Hello, I'm Sumi Somaskandar from the Global Story Podcast. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump offer two very different views on climate change. One of them will lead the world's greatest producer of fossil fuels and have the power to reshape global climate action. So what would a Harris or Trump presidency mean for the climate crisis? The Global Story brings you fresh takes and smart perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, I'm Christina Ferg, a producer from the BBC OS team. Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. We bring people together to share their experiences, and this time we hear from three Palestinian women on how their lives have changed after 12 months of war between Israel and Hamas.
Hello, I'm Ilham, and this is my year in Gaza. In this episode, me and two other young women, Sanabil and Batul, want to share with you some of the conversations and experiences that we are having across Gaza as we try to live our lives during the war.
I hate living in a refugee camp. There's no privacy, a lot of fights from nothing. You just sit alone and try to avoid problems, and then the fights comes to you.
As there are three of us, I will not only guide you through my story, but introduce you to two other women in Gaza. So, to start with, let me tell you a little bit about me. I'm 27. Before last October, I was working in a science lab. But then Hamas gunmen attacked Israel on October 7th, killing 1,200 people and taking 250 hostage. Now I live in a refugee camp in the center of Gaza, next to the coastline, which is the sound you are hearing now. Before the war, I was living in the north of Gaza. My house was hit during an airstrike, and my young nephew and I were trapped under the rubble. I managed to free both of us and carried him to the hospital, where he was treated and luckily survived. Over the past year, we had to move many times for our safety. Now we are living in a tent in a refugee camp in Deir al-Balah. I wanted to record something that allows you to hear what a typical day can be like. Today I am on my way to buy some food, which is already very low and not available. All the required items, only the basics. We are now need some tomatoes for cooking. لو سمحت بكمل البندورة. And I asked the seller now about the price of tomatoes, which are basic vegetable, and he told me that a kilo is $9, which is very expensive to feed a whole family. This way I pass by houses that used to be beautiful, now they are just rubble, and what I see is my beautiful city turned into rubble. And now I feel pain and sadness and the loss of all the memories and possessions that were destroyed, and I feel overwhelmed and worried about the unknown future that awaits me and where I will live after this war, because I lost everything. It's the worst nightmare I ever had. I am now in Deir al-Balah in the middle of Gaza City. After I moved since beginning of this war until now, it has become almost a year. But now estimates indicate that the number of displaced people is approaching 500,000. That means Israel cramming 1.7 million Palestinians into 10 90% of Gaza Strip. And right now, I want to make conversation with my sister to ask her some question. What is the thing you miss a lot?
I miss the feeling of safety and peace the most. It's tough not knowing if you or your loved ones are safe. It makes you appreciate the little moments of peace even more. I miss the feeling of a normal life, like getting a new home to live in instead of my home, which is rubble, and I live now in a tent, which is unfit for life, and getting clean water, not the polluter that causes diarrhea and diseases. And I miss showering water easily instead of waiting for 6 hours, and cooking on gas instead of wood. I miss clean streets, not where sewage floats, and the clean sea in which the waste is dumped, instead of going to entertainment and empty streets instead of too crowded.
When you're trying to go to sleep, what is on your mind?
I think about our safety, our loved ones, the events of the day, and the uncertainty of what tomorrow. It can be a challenge and restless time for us. And when will I live a normal life like any human being on earth?
What are your hopes for the future?
I hope for peace, safety, and the opportunity to rebuild our lives and communities. This is hope as a guiding light, motivating us to endure the hardships of the present with the belief that better days.
What is something you think about a lot?
I think about our safety, the well-being of our loved ones, the uncertainty of the situation, the impact of the conflict on our lives, and the hope for a peaceful resolution.
What is the hardest thing you experienced in the last year?
The hardest thing is loss of loved ones like my friend and relatives. The constant fear and uncertainty, the physical and emotional toll of the conflict, the destruction of our homes and communities, and the psychological trauma that can last long after the war ends. These experiences can deeply impact on us and communities, shaping our lives in profound ways.
Are there any moments that have brought you joy?
In the midst of war and conflict, amidst all the hardships, there have been moments that brought us joy and hope, like the protests of people abroad for us to stop the war, supported us morally and financially through donations, and the presence of people angry of what is happening now, and they haven't stopped talking about Palestine yet. Famines and diseases are continuing until now, and no one is able to stop all of these.
Where do you feel safe?
I don't feel safe at all, and there is no safe place in the Gaza Strip. All the places here are in danger and constant and sudden bombardment.
This is the continuous sound of the drones. We hear it day and night, and they are reconnaissance and surveillance planes and carry bullets inside it when it set a specific target. And this voice does not stop, especially at midnight, which makes us not no sleep and makes us feel that there is a constant war. And I feel headache when I hear it, and I also want to separate my head from my body from the intensity of the voice. And not to mention the sound of the successive explosion and the horror that follows.
According to Hamas Foreign Health Ministry, more than 40,000 Gazans have been killed this year in the war. And the United Nations estimates that around 90% of us have had to leave our homes and are now living in temporary accommodation. I wanna introduce Sanabil next, who is living to the north of me. She is 17 and lives in Gaza City, where she was displaced several times and experienced much loss. A year ago, she was a high school student, and her dream was to become an English translator. Her home has been destroyed. Her grandma was killed in an Israeli attack. She has also lost her aunt, uncle, cousins and friends during this war. She feels lucky to be here, but there have been days when she has wished she wasn't alive. During the past year, she has been sending audio messages to the OS team. Here is what she has been recording in recent days.
I really want to be free. I'm in a big prison. I can't travel, I can't visit in other areas in my city. I can't. Why? I also have the right, like you, to travel around, eat what I like, buy what I want, but there are no goods in Gaza, there are no healthy food. All of my family and me have hepatitis A because there are not healthy food in Gaza. Last night also, I wake up suddenly in the middle of the night because Israeli army targeted a house in my area. Why? When can I wake up without seeing and hearing the missiles target the civilians here in Gaza? On the 29th of October, I have bad memories in this day. In the last year, Israeli army targeted my aunt's home. She killed my aunt Shada with her son Juma, who is 6 years old, and my cousin Nadia with her father Pilal. Nadia and Juma were 6 years old. They didn't even see their lives. They didn't even do anything. They didn't even have a gun or anything. They didn't even live their childhood. Why they killed my Aunt Shada and prevent me to see them again? I really want to return to my life and doing what I used to do. Like, why Israel prevent us to keep living? All we want is to live in peace. Feel free like a bird or just like anyone in the world. Here in Gaza we wait our turn to die. Here in Gaza we don't know who's the next who will also killed by Israel. My wish is to ceasefire now because this is really enough. I'm ticked off, I can't hold on. I don't know who's the next of my family who will die. I really miss my life before the October 7th. I really want to achieve what I was dreaming about, but I can't do anything. I am in my home. I can't go outside because the situation is too dangerous. I wish I could even go to the sea, or at least eat what I like, sleep well without even being afraid of the missiles. I lost 14 of my family, and I lost also a lot of friends, a lot of my classmates, a lot of my teachers. That's enough. I don't want to lose more.
You're listening to the BBC World Service and OS Conversations. Today with me, Ilham, introducing you to Sanabil and Batul, all young women living in Gaza.
Hello, I'm Sumi Somaskanda from the Global Story Podcast. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump offer two very different views on climate change. One of them will lead the world's greatest producer of fossil fuels and have the power to reshape global climate action. So what would a Harris or Trump presidency mean for the climate crisis? The Global Story brings you fresh takes and smart perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.
The place we call home is a strip of land that is 40 kilometers long and 10 kilometers wide. The UN estimates that two-thirds of the buildings here have been destroyed in the war. Let me introduce you next to Batul, who lives just south of me. She is in a refugee camp in the south of Gaza Strip near Rafah. Batul is 19 and a poet. She was a student at the Islamic University in Gaza, studying English literature. Now she lives in a tent number 170 in a refugee camp with her mother and four siblings. She hasn't seen her father for 11 months as he stayed back in the family home in the north. This is what it is like for her to live in the camp.
Good morning. I woke up actually at 6 a.m. I started my first writing session. I was working on an essay about self-translation. And now, thanks to God, there is internet connection. So I'm just gonna do the things that need internet. Hey again. Finally, my phone is charged. And now it's 1 p.m., which is really annoying. I mean, like, the majority of my time goes in waiting the phone to be charged, and I can do nothing during that time because all the material I read or I work on is on my phone. So I just have a plenty of time just gazing around myself, not doing anything. I washed my clothes manually because there's no washing machines, and I was working on editing my poems. Hi, time.
Habibi Alouz.
These are from the little kids I used to teach at the local school here. And yeah, I was editing some poems, which will be part of my first poetry collection that I'm working on. I hate how it does feel like I'm wasting my time. And when I feel that I waste my time, I feel terrified. I have no idea why, but I really hate wasting time. I try to be productive all the day. So yeah, this is what I'm working on. I'm just trying to calm myself down and say everything is gonna be fine. You still have plenty of time to do everything you want to do. So now I'm just going to buy an internet card and to have internet connection for the coming 5 hours so I can complete my work. When I was at home, I used to read all my poems to Mom. I always consider her as my first reader and editor, but nowadays I cannot do that. I mean, we were sitting next to the tent door, and I was just trying to read her one of my poems which I was editing, and I couldn't read it because each line someone come and talk to Mom, and just I couldn't complete doing that while all these noise happening. This is next to the tent's door, and inside the tent also it cannot work because all the people will keep entering the tent, and also my siblings will keep talking to Mom. So I ended up crying. I don't know why, but I'm too emotional these days. I just can't help it anymore. I had my lunch. I ate mlouchia. It's one of my favorite dishes. It was really good with pita bread. And during the normal days, we used to cook mlouchia with the chicken. But nowadays, the financial situation of the family not like before, so we just made it without chicken. And it still tastes good, so I love mlouchia and I enjoyed eating it. Now I'm gonna take my antibiotic because I've been suffering with the flu for like more than 2 weeks, and the last days I had a really, really bad cough, a really strong one that I couldn't speak or move. So yeah, I had to take my medicine. These days are being really hard on me. As a girl, as there is no pads, I got my period, and I cannot find pads here. And if I can find them, they're really, really expensive. Thanks God my family can buy them, but I'm just thinking about other girls whose families don't have enough money to buy them. So what they do, actually, I have no idea. There was a fight between us and the other two families who we share the bathroom with. And it's really annoying sharing the bathroom with other people. Sometimes people are really rude and you don't know how to deal with them. And especially we are here without my dad, so it's a bit harder to deal with people. Mom has to handle all the problems by herself. She's a really strong and powerful woman, and I do really admire her. And she's just great. I love her, and I love how strong she is. She's handling more than she can bear, I know that, and she's been suffering with really hard time since, like, for a year. She's been playing the role of our mom and our dad at the same time, because my dad is still in the north. People are still fighting with us and with the other neighbors, just rude people. I hate living in a refugee camp. There's no privacy, a lot of fights from nothing. You just sit alone and try to avoid problems, and then the fights comes to you.
Suddenly the internet connection has came and I downloaded the novel, but I'm just really tired that I cannot even do any other thing for today, so I'm just gonna sleep. I used to look at my face at the mirror, the small broken mirror we have, but recently, I don't know, I feel like I don't look like myself anymore. I used to say, you know, girl, it's not important how your face looks like. It's more about what you hold inside you. It's about your soul. But now my soul is tired. So after that I said, well, at least you have a pretty face. But now my skin is tired and my soul is tired. A lot of pimples. I don't love how they look like. Sometimes they really hurt. Maybe those are the scars of the battle. The battle I'm in now on my face. Show that I'm a hero. There is no hero without scars, but I also would like to see my face pretty, but I cannot even take care of my skin. Water here is not clear enough. I would like to buy myself sun cream, but it's really expensive, and I just like to get my face back. My soul, and the only thing that I still have is poetry.
I hope that hearing from us in Gaza has been helpful to understand what we are living through. You have been listening to Ilham, Batul, and Sanabil, three young women in Gaza. Thank you so much for hearing our stories.
Hi, I'm Christina, a producer from the OS team, and I've been in regular contact with the women for the documentary on the BBC World Service. Just to mention that the OS team will bring you voices from Israel in next week's OS Conversations.
Hello, I'm Sumi Somaskanda from the Global Story Podcast. Kamala Harris and Donald Trump offer two very different views on climate change. One of them will lead the world's greatest producer of fossil fuels and have the power to reshape global climate action. So what would a Harris or Trump presidency mean for the climate crisis? The Global Story brings you fresh takes and smart perspectives from BBC journalists around the world. Find us wherever you get your podcasts.